I want y'all to think about it. I'm going to ask the question. Y'all think about it while we're going through our lesson. And I'm going to try to save time at the very end and see if anybody wants to be brave enough and answer it. What makes you happy? Just what makes you happy? I'm not saying in what realm, because there can be a lot of different realms, but what makes you happy? And we'll address that a little bit later. Parents, your behavior will set the tone for the entire household. Don't raise your children to be lukewarm when God wants to help them move mountains. Matthew 21:21. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen." That's a powerful statement. Going to move a mountain. Anybody done that you know of? You know, we see these magicians, and sometimes it makes you wonder. We were someplace, and I forget where it was at, and with the grandkids and Mark on a trip, and this comedian came out. Magician came out, and Michael was sitting by me, and we had really good seats, 3 or 4 rows back, so you could see real close on the stage. I mean, you could see the guy sweating the whole bit. And and every trick, Michael would lean over and say, "I saw what he did." And then afterwards, I told him, "Can you do that trick again?" "I don't know, Papa." But you think about it, when you read that statement, you think this has to be something magical. But we're talking about faith, having that faith that strong, okay? When you're sick, hurting, down with cancer, fixing to have a major surgery, boy, it's strong time to have your faith really strong. Kirk knows that. He just went through it. I mean, you pray, but you still there's a little doubt back there, nags at you. Am I correct? Am I the only one that's happened to you? All those times I laid on that radiation table getting radiated, I have faith, but I kept thinking, how many more times I have to do this? You know, so it's just one of those things, you know. That's where we've been talking about in this whole series, keeping that faith up, keeping us strong on the go here, okay? Don't raise your children to be lukewarm when God wants to help them move mountains. And all that's about, and Ed and I have talked about it several times, we want our young people to own their faith. Because if they don't own it, if they just come to church because parents say they need to, so forth, what happens when they get out and don't have to go to church? They're not going to church. And it's sad to say that. Now, you're going to have some that will, but if they learn about God and Christ and have that faith, they will remain good and strong, okay? And then there's guys like me who didn't grow up in the church, grew up in Baptist church, and started attending with hopefully was going to be my wife, and started listening to a preacher. It was preached way over my head for the knowledge I had at the time, but yet I picked up a seed in there, and it started growing. And I've said before, once I obeyed the gospel, it took me about 5 years to really put the pieces together to really understand it the way I needed to understand things, okay? So faith doesn't happen overnight. It has to slowly build and build and build. That's what we've been doing, is throwing a log on the fire on each one of these lessons and getting that fire and our faith stronger and hotter all the time. In Acts 21:8-9, on the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. Now, the interesting thing here is that Philip the evangelist is recognized not only for preaching, but also for his virtuous and zealous daughters. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:5. On the next day we left, 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, who? Y'all know this, grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is well with you as well. Lois and Eunice are commended for helping Timothy build a solid faith on solid standards. These are the kind of young women and young men who will be an example in speech and conduct, love, faith, and purity. 1 Timothy, I got the wrong one here. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So even as a young person, they can have a lot of influence on older people. So these are just some highlights to start off with. If you want your children, and I know some of you are grandparents, so this applies to grandparents and maybe even a great grandparent here and there. If you want your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren to be just as faithful, you must set the bar high in each of these areas and help them to reach these important goals. Encourage your children to purchase a passionate relationship with their Savior and to depend on His strength rather than their own. It's so easy for us to think you're working hard and you get a big job promotion, you think that you did it all, and not putting the credit where it's due for the Lord helping you to get to that spot. And we need to keep that in mind for all of us, regardless of our age on that. Model true zeal by volunteering in good works and creating hands-on opportunities for your children to use their talents. Show them that success is not found in social, financial achievements, but in living for God. How many times have you run across somebody that's on the younger side in their 20s, and all they think and talk about is making money? Making money. It's all about that. And they may even be a Christian, but they're still thinking about making money. I gotta make some extra. I'm gonna do another job so I can buy this and I can buy that. And it's all materialistic. They went down that road. You get to a certain point in age, you know, it's always a big deal with birthdays. Have a birthday and people get presents. When you're younger, you expect a present, usually some kind of present. But as you get older, you don't really need anything. You know, you might have too much. You need to maybe declutter some, even actually. But it's just one of those type of factors we have to be careful. What was that?
Okay, I'm going today.
boy. I may have lost it here now. How many would rather have a present? I'm getting a few. Oh, boy. Okay, I might have missed that one. I should have brought me a pen out. I'm going to X that one off of my notes here. Okay. Rather still have a present, regardless of everything you got. Okay. Oh, boy. Did I tell you what Michael got me this my last birthday? Did I? Michael comes up and he gives me two things. Now, oh, give me a card. Michael always tends to think things through. Last year, he gave me a pound of butter, okay? Because he observes that when he comes over, he always wants pancake and bacon for breakfast, that I put butter on my pancakes with my syrup, and he does not. And he observed I use butter. And so, bingo, I get a pound of butter. Okay, this year I get a deal of jerky. And I said, Michael, why'd you give me jerky? He said, well, Papa, when we're on trips and we stop and go to one of those gas station places, you always tend to buy some jerky, and you always give me a piece too. So, and he did ask me about, can I have one of those, you know? And I should have opened it. I haven't opened it yet. I'm going to have to open it when he's around and give him some, but... Anyhow, but the other big thing, I'd never seen it before. He gave me a Papa dill pickle. It's just dill pickle, big old pickles, it's about that long. It has juice in this one plastic thing, and the name of it is Big Papa, is the name of the pickle. So that's what I got. So anyhow, so... he's seen 2 years in a row he's on this food theme, so I don't know what next year is going to be. But my whole point was, I might have lost my point to everybody. Like I said, I'm going to take my pen and just X that section off my notes if I ever teach this type of class again. But anyhow, encourage your children to pursue a passionate relationship with their Savior and to depend on His strength rather than their own. A model of true zeal by volunteering good works and creating hands-on opportunities for your children to use their talents. Show them that success is not found in the social financial achievements. And that's kind of hard to do. Grandkids, you know, at their age, they're always wanting something. Want. Take me to the store. Grandma, take me to the store. Get this, get that. Even as little ones. How many times have you been in a grocery store and you got a mom and you got this little one sitting in that basket thing, and mom's over here looking at something on the shelf, and here's that little one over here, in the basket. You know, they're already shopping for themselves, you know. They may not know what it was, but it was shiny, it looked good, whatever. So that starts off kind of early on some of that, too. The family is an incubator for future zealous Christians. Make sure your children enter the world with their faith set on fire. Now, how are we going to set things on fire? It is He who will go as a forerunner before Him in the Spirit, in power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You got to start early. I don't know, it's just me. My heart goes out to those war-torn areas. You know, that Gaza Strip situation. Think of all those kids that are involved in that situation and what they're going through. Starvation, you know, bad water, getting all kinds of diseases from the drinking non-purified water. They're going to grow up not with good memories of childhood, but with some really bad memories of childhood. And that incubates problems later in life were a resentful attitude towards other people, and that was what keeps motivating all the fighting. Okay, they want revenge. They want to get back. And that's not God's way, okay? But it still, heart goes out to them what they're going through. Oh, yeah. Strap a backpack on them full of whatever, C4 stuff. And, a backpack of that stuff will take out a whole block, okay? People don't realize how powerful that stuff is. But, yes, you're absolutely correct. But they do it also in the name of Allah. And if you do that and you take out the infidel, you're guaranteed going to heaven. They teach that, ingrain that in them too, which is the devil working. It's just flat the devil working, okay? Ultimately, nothing promotes greater zeal like patience. No, like practice. Well, I'm going to read here better. Consider how you can adopt some of these practical ideals into your life, okay? The dream team, Aquila and Priscilla, completely incorporated zeal into their personal and professional lives. Their family zeal can be seen in spreading the gospel with Paul, making tents with Paul, hosting a local church in their home, and risking their lives for Paul. And we find that over in Romans 16. And I don't, I thought I had it down. I don't see it. But that's where we'll find that at, Romans 16. Verse 16 and 3. You want to read it? Thank you. Look for places in your family routines to exercise more zeal. And that can be easily done. Perhaps you can use some vacation time to help others in need across town or across the globe. How many people you know that do something like that? Now, I know people. Because years ago, back in the 90s, I worked for the Red Cross for 5 years. And I'd go down to the main office there on, 59, I guess, over there close to those summits where their big headquarters were. And the times to drive up, most of the time you drive up, you could park in the front row, you know. But there's times I'd show up for one of our meetings, and lo and behold, you can hardly get in the parking lot. And there were motor homes and cars pulling big trailers, and it was a busy place because they were a caravan of people were gathering food and whatever, and they were going to head out to wherever there was a disaster, whether it's an earthquake around in California or one of the hurricanes or a storm up in the Midwest, and they were gathering and heading out, getting ready to head out in a caravan type stuff. And there were people who, they don't get paid. They're doing it out of their own heart. They're going to pay for all their transportation, their lodging, and everything. They just volunteer for the Red Cross to do those type of things. And so you can get into some of that type of stuff as far as on that. But you can also do the similar type of thing with the church family. Okay? So, and you just got to put your thinking cap on something. If you want to look for a job to do, I'm sure Ed can find you a few jobs. Okay, I'll put it off on him. And I did see Ed here, didn't I, Martha? I wonder if he's listening to me back there. So, okay. But good deeds, things that we can do, it doesn't only help someone else, but it helps you. Okay? Father in heaven will be pleased.
Okay.
It's a win-win-win. You can train your kids to use the internet, and you can teach them how to look about different charities going on, different things. Practicing unplanned kind acts of kindness like the Good Samaritan did is wonderful. I knew a guy, his wife was in Rotary, and every Christmas, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, he'd go down to the bank and get $50 crisp bills, you know, where they press them or iron or whatever, they're crisp, you know, $50 bills. And his wife told me that usually during from Thanksgiving to Christmas, he would just randomly see somebody and a family or maybe a young person and give them a $50 bill. And he would spend $5,000. He got $5,050 bills. And he did that every year. That was his way of giving back. Okay? Now he's passed on now, and his wife is in sad condition in a home now. But there's things like that that he did it. And the only way anybody would have known it is because his wife had to tell, you know, but that's okay. You know, thought a whole lot more of him, you know. So there's all kind of things we can do to help out there. Anyway, but at the same time, help our church family, okay. But by doing those things, we'll help other people understand what Christianity is more about also. Am I making any sense? Okay. This is that's what we talked about, started off, iron sharpening iron. We're iron. And we're trying to sharpen other people, too, with the iron, okay, to make them sharper. Because when you help someone else do something, they're going to be more apt. They're going to turn around and help somebody then, too. What's that? There's a deal about pay forward. Yeah, pay forward. You know, every once in a while I had somebody, it's been a month or so back, coming through the office. So they got a really big kick. Because the nose in the rearview mirror at the drive-through window thing while he's waiting, that this car behind him, this lady looked like she had about five or six kids in the car. So he gets up there and he tells them and said, "I don't know what their bill is going to be, but I'm giving y'all $100 bill." I want them to be taken care of, pay for their stuff. If they've already paid, give their money back, and you put this on their tab, and just tell them it's a pay forward. And that's pretty good. You know, he's in a position in life where he could do that, and that's why he was doing things like that. So there's all kind of little things out there, okay, guys. The random acts alone will not keep the family zeal burning brightly. We should recommend that families create a good deeds budget for each month. And you think about that. When you got smaller kids, the first thing you got to try to teach them is that money doesn't burn a hole in your pocket. As soon as you get it, you don't have to go try to spend it, okay? Because all the young ones say, boy, that's going to be quick. Michael, give him $5 and he is wanting to go to the store. So, but that's normal. That's a pretty norm thing. But you have to work on trying to teach and train them on trying to help other people. Proactive approach helps weave the habit of doing good deeds in the family's daily thinking. Good deeds every once in a while, not much. Margie will tell you, I'll empty the dishwasher. Okay. Now, I count that as a good deed, but it's more of a memory thing because if the dishwasher door is closed, it's out of sight, out of mind. I don't know whether I'm kind of scared to do anything to it because if I open the door and they're not clean, does it mess up the cycle? So I use that for excuse on that. But she got where at times she cracks the door open. So I pretty well know they're probably clean. So, but understand, guys, You know, sometimes something like that, surprise a wife, okay? Oh, Kirk. Oh, Kirk, you're going to give us guys a bad name. Oh, well, what a class tonight. Ever go to Kirk's house? You have to go in the evening so you can see this herd of ducks that fly in under their bird feeder thing that eats in their backyard. It's quite interesting to watch. But y'all get what I'm talking about. Just little things sometimes help. Us guys are the worst ones to forget those little things. I'll admit that, okay? Type situation. Oh, there's an ever-present need for Christians to spend more time together from house to house. We've talked about this. The connection built during these occasions are critical to thriving, healthy families and friendships in the church. The time you spend in a restaurant where you can't hear somebody at the other end of the table talking, okay, or in other public places, simply can't replace the bonds formed during time in a home, okay? Because you don't hurry to eat a meal in somebody's home. You eat, take your time. The hostess, you know, they may start working on putting food up or something, but you sit around and still visit. Find out more about people. That's how we interconnect. You find out things. Take home point tonight. It's an incredible privilege to share your life with family and friends. Each person is handcrafted by God and is completely now irreplaceable. We honor God by spreading your zeal like Noah and Joshua and Lois, Eunice, Philip, and the list goes on. All good examples, great examples, but we can be an example within our own church family, our own family, and actually to the world also, okay? So there's all kind of factors on that we need to think about. At the trial of Jesus, Peter turned to warm himself beside the fires of non-believers. And you find that over in Luke 22, 54 through 50. Okay. If your home is not a reliable source of spiritual warmth for your family and friends, they too will turn elsewhere. Okay. Got to be careful on that. How did joining those who did not love and follow Jesus affect Peter that night? Caused him to do what? What? Cry. Cry, yeah, but deny him also. Okay? So we have to be so careful in those type of things that can just sneak up on us and take over. Now, we started off a while ago on the happy question. Simple question. What makes you happy? Somebody want to venture out an answer for me? I look at Nate and Nate looks elsewhere. That's okay. I do that on purpose, Nate. Not peeking at you. Anybody want to venture one? Cheryl? Okay. Could y'all hear that? Speak up a little bit, Cheryl. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to venture one? Those are all good. Also love what? What was that last? You kind of got low on that one. Staying in a hotel that makes you happy. Kirk, you're going to have to put the tent up. Put the tent, fold it up, put it in the garage, hide it. Okay, so you won't be tempted to take the tent when y'all go out on vacation, okay? Okay, that's interesting happy things there. Anybody else want to venture out for me? Okay, like having people around. Okay, that's good. Do you have people in off the street? Not so much. Yeah, I'm saying that. I had a lady in yesterday, and she was kind of upset because her car had been vandalized. She was at home at night. She didn't hear it. Her dog didn't hear it, but the busted out the back window, broke in, and tried to steal the car and tore up all the ignition stuff on it, okay? But anyhow, so they didn't get the car, but they just tore it up bad. And then it was either, I think the next day, during the day, she was at home working. She has a job where she goes in the office 2 or 3 days and works at home 2 or 3 days. She's in the back working her computer, and she went to the kitchen at some point, looked out, and somebody had went in her yard and cut down her pear tree. Now, I didn't tell her because she was already pretty upset, a little anxiety going on. But I think somebody's probably targeting her or just trying to run her out or something, okay? And she's single, lives at home by herself. She's older, you know, type thing. But I'm calling older like late 50s or somewhere in there. I mean, she's not a 30-year-old, okay? Oh, boy, I am having a tough night tonight. I blame it on the traffic out there on 146. Okay. But you know, so you have situations like that. But the so she was not very happy that day, okay? Anybody else want to venture out? What makes you happy?
I love when my students' parents reach out to me for information, because I always tell them, I'm always here to have my high school students, my parents, let them check out, even though I was a teacher for them in junior high. I love when they reach out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I saw a hand someplace else. Susan. Yeah, you get around kids. Oh, the St. Jude commercials tear me up. And I feel once in a while I have a nurse that comes in that works cancer units in Houston and stuff like that. I just thank them for what they're doing. I mean, it takes a special heart person to work with them. I tell you, somebody else has a special heart. He's not going to admit it, but it's Mason. You know, Mason is a pediatric nurse, and he's right now working on a case where the boy's old, a little older type thing, but he's very disabled, and he has to do a lot of lifting and helping with him. But to have a heart to be able to do that, I mean, not everybody can do that type of stuff, okay? Anybody else want to venture something? No other comments? Got something to learn? I know that. So you cannot take Ed on a year-long cruise. I'm not going to allow that, okay?
I mean, I have really thought about that over the years. And in Ed and Mom's case, our families, my side and his side, you know, his mother, of course, is But if my dad and mother were, or his mother and
I totally agree, and I say probably most everybody in here feel the same type of situation on that. It just... Well, I agree very much on that. And time's about up, but nobody asked to flip it around on me. But for me, it's going to sound kind of crazy. It's being with my wife. And that sounds crazy because we work together. We go home together. We go on vacation together. And I say that because I have a lot of people I know that the husband and wife go on separate vacations. You know, the wife will go off, some girlfriend's off for a week someplace, and the husband, he goes off for a week or two hunting. You know, they don't do things together, you know. So, and then probably follow up that, you know, you guys are family, you know. So be with Christians type situation. So, as y'all know, our family's really shrunk, so... of course, being around Lucas some, you know, it makes us happy, but it's just one of those type of deals. But you got to think about what truly makes you happy. Now, probably shouldn't make a comment that all that car noise will go. What makes Jay Lynn happy is getting that car of his revved up, sounding like that car right there. You can pick at him for me on that. I show him no mercy on picking at him. So, thank y'all.